Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 13, 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, the 17th of March 2019, Part 2. Question: Is the discovery of unity, that everything is managed only by the Creator, the highest spiritual pleasure? Answer: Yes, because in this way we are included within it, on the level of His perfection, eternity and attainment. Question: How, for example, after an accident when I experience constant physical pain, can I remain with the awareness that the Creator's management is good and loving? Answer: Try to be together with us and at the same time feel the Creator in all the manifestations between us. If you make the right effort, you will discover that you rise above your physical pain. To do this, you must only transfer yourself from the physical level slightly, to the level of the connection between us. Question: The Creator works with me with the help of a stick. In response, I don't ask for anything for myself, but for the whole system because I understand that this is how the Creator will change my attitude. Am I being cunning? Answer: It could be that you are being cunning. I would recommend that you do this in a group. You will then understand whether or not this is correct. One person cannot do anything. Instead, it is solely and only through the group. Question: What does replacing the Creator mean if there is none else besides Him, Deuteronomy 4:35? Answer: This is a kind of exercise in which we say that the Creator seems to be non-existent, and we clarify how we can all replace the Creator in relation to each one of our friends. This is how we can check whether we are truly in bestowal. Question: In the book Shamati, I read an article in which the concept of a covenant of salt is mentioned. How must this covenant be discovered in a ten? Answer: You are trying to establish a covenant with the ten that nobody can overturn. That is why it is called a covenant of salt. It is because salt is a substance that does not spoil and can preserve itself throughout the generations. It is an eternal covenant. From the Kabbalah lesson in Rush in the 17th of March 2019. New Life Number 275. The Ego and I, Part 2.
Hello, and thank you for being with us. We are with the New Life series, this educational series with Dr. Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, Tom Mandelbaum. Today we'll want to have a look into ourselves within and find the forces that motivate us, that put us together in order to know how to better handle them and move forward in life to a happier, better place so we wake up in the morning with light on our face. We learn how to get to know the self, my ego, the people around me, understand how this system works, what is exactly moving and shaking everything here. And in order to run all of this more knowledgeably and move forward to a new life, that'll bring us into this. So in the last few episodes, we spoke about myself and my ego, and we mostly focused on this ego, the thing through which we all see reality, and it causes us to want to be above others and always feel that we are fine, but and better than others, and it makes us feel pressured as well because we're always find ourselves in a competitive mode. But sometimes we also have a feeling of something beyond that, and there's this little story that can demonstrate this. There's a world-renowned violinist that said after one of these Beethoven performances, that I have the best violin and the best orchestra and the best musical piece here. When I put all these things together, all I need to do is just move aside. Meaning sometimes we have that feeling that if we just moved aside from all those thoughts and ideas and things that run within us, everything would run better. So I would like to understand, we spoke about this ego, we have some gamut of desires and thoughts and so forth that we relate ourselves to, but there is something that's left when we move aside. What is that thing? What is the thing that is not our ego? It is the self. And that self is a will to enjoy. The ego is just one of the forms of enjoyment. I received an impression from the environment that I can enjoy all kinds of values, assets, things that the environment forces me to, that the environment brings to me as an example of how to live, of how to dress, of how to eat, and so forth, and thereby feel that I'm successful. And there is no personal success in that regard. What I'm doing is actually meeting the standards of society, the values of society that it impresses on me. We also see how in the last 50 years advertisement has been so hugely developed, and it really determines much of our lives. We are working all our lives to fulfill the desires of the marketing people. They tell us how we have to dress and what we have to look like and what we have to purchase and what we have to eat and so forth. They lock on to my basic desires, which are for food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. But in what way, what is exactly the form of my pleasure, is determined by them. And so I basically acquire all these shapes and forms from the environment, and I just actualize that. And by this I become a slave of the environment, and they control me in each and every matter, so much so that if I am indoctrinated by the environment, I don't even know who is that self, that point you mentioned as a question of who is this. I don't know who is the I. I, right now, am doing everything that the environment simply forces me to. They tell me you have to dress this way and walk that way and eat this thing for breakfast and go to this and that place and behave in this and that way and go home and be at home in a certain way and with your wife in a certain way, with your kids in a certain way, and your leisure time should be passed in the following way and so forth. Each and everything in life that I do follows an example that I get from the environment, from society, and I simply follow it. And if that environment would have been friendly to me, such as, say, my parents, I would take on a totally different form of life from them. What I mean is, if my parents would not be managed by the environment also, rather would relate to me in a simple, instinctive kind of way, they wouldn't start pressing me with, you have to be strong and competitive and successful in this and this and that. They would be teaching me that I have to be happy with what I have. And that is the best state there is. If you're happy with your share, then you can really be happy. And if you go past that, you'll be happy in fulfilling the needs, the desires of the others. Look at this type of life. You'll be happy in being someone's slave. You'll be happy about it in fulfilling the role of being enslaved. So is that the way we want to live? And we eventually come to a point where I actually begin to distinguish between myself and my ego. At first, this suffering helps me see my ego as something that is opposite me. It is helpmate against the, that helps the person make new discernments. This is I, and this is what I got from the environment. And the environment simply wants me to actualize my, to fulfill my desire in a certain way. It tells me you need to profit this, you need to gain that, and you know, and it creates the advertisements, and you know, and in a closed loop, this is how it works on me. So in this way, I follow the will of society in everything. Work, marriage, everything. Each and everything I do, from the beginning to the end of it, I'm programmed by society in such a way that I simply follow the will of others. I'm never my own will. I'm only under some illusion that I enjoy that. That if I put a diamond on my finger, some ring with a big diamond, then everyone looks at it. Everyone is envy at that, and I feel that I enjoy it, or that I'm worth more than they are. Because they have taught me that this diamond gives me some value. In other words, whatever we do, we always engage in things that don't relate to ourselves, but to the environment. And that is the issue, that we're constantly in competition, we're constantly enslaved, and we chase that and we don't even think. And you can't even go to a person and start talking to them about that, because they'll say, well, okay, but this is what we do, you know, this is life, what do you want? Until a certain point, until the point where I begin to see the end of that road, when I begin to be introduced to the evil in that. Meaning I don't care that I follow the will of the environment and that I'm in competition and that I'm destroying my own life and family and being always preoccupied with purchasing and consuming more and more and so forth. The problem appears where we're like blind men running into a wall and realizing that there's an end to it and being shocked by where did this come from. This is where the crisis, the end of egoistic development, appears in a very sudden way. In just a few decades, it shows itself, which is nothing in terms of a time frame in our world. If we look at all of our development, all of a sudden, in just a few decades, we see that this road is coming to an end. And it's coming to an end in two directions. One, my inner direction of development, meaning I stop enjoying these competitions, meaning the internal egoistic development actually buries itself. I stop wanting. I don't care anymore. I just want to lie down and rest and do nothing and just, you know, just walk, you know, the street with my torn jeans and enjoy resting and hanging out. And I don't want to work hard or gain any strong, you know, heightened achievements, meaning the ego itself is leading itself to an end, on the one hand. And more and more people in the world, especially in the developed countries, yeah, the Western world, these people discover the end of the road more and more. They stop feeling pleasure in this development. And it's not just a person, it's a generation, a new generation. Awakens, and we also have the virtual connection today where everyone can share with everyone. And so if in the past I grew up in my local environment, whether it was the people in the village or even newspapers and TVs, now I learn from other people, not just the media and press that try to push certain things to me. Today we have all those Twitters and Facebooks and social networks through which I absorb, not directly through all kinds of commercial companies that want to plant certain lacks in me. Rather, I begin to be more connected to other people. And then it turns out that my ego and myself and my desire develop from connection with others that are like me. And there is no one in the middle. And although we're all programmed by the environment and the media and so forth, there is yet a new kind of connection that surfaces. And it doesn't go through the processing of a certain education ministry or media company or some propaganda machine that wants to reprogram us or redirect us in a certain way. After all, these social networks are causing us to connect in a more direct, deeper way between us. And this is where we discover that this mutual influence between people leads us to other values, to criticism, critical thinking about our life. And with that, there's the end of the egoistic development that lies in the egoism itself. And there's also the surrounding nature that we begin to be very threatened by. In the past, they just spoke about, you know, the ozone layer or the oxygen levels or pollution to an extent, that our food comes to us, you know, after a lot of engineering, and it's already mixed and processed in all kinds of genetic modifications and mutations that could be dangerous, and we don't know what will they result in, meaning what will be the impact of what we're eating and how we're fed. But all those things lead me to a certain feeling of an end and the despair from joblessness and despair of finding any success and the ability for people to connect in a more direct way and to influence each other towards other values, and the surrounding threat by nature, and the millions of people who go out to the streets jobless and without future hope. All of these things, we have to look at all of them together, all of these foundations and forces and causes working on us. It leads the human altogether, the despair plus the ego plus the self in the new virtual environment, and the natural troubles imminent, and the lack of ability to go according to simple natural standards because of the current standards of society. All this leads us to a recognition of evil in our current state. We are currently beginning to recognize the evil in our current state after developing for thousands of years. And this is where the question is. Myself, is a will to enjoy. Can I enjoy only by using fictional values that society has designed for me? And now we're seeing that everyone enters a crisis, and there's chaos in our life, and there's no future. So, do we have to be connected to each other in this way? Or we have to operate ourselves, the will to enjoy, me with my ego and the qualities within the environment, and what's in nature, and these are different circles, like bubbles or spheres. Can I connect them in a different way? In order to enjoy. The motivation to have pleasure stays. It's a basic thing. Only the way I use my ego, the way I use social connections, was wrong. And there's a different way. And only one. For now, humanity doesn't discover more. That this is, call it the socialist kind of formation, which means that we care about the society in order to be saved by the blows and be connected to each other and to nature in a better way and prevent wars. Wars that are threatening us. We want to foster other values, meaning to cancel the egoistic competition and to lead people to an altruistic motivation for competition by social values. And it's the same ego working simply with different values. It's the same thing. I want to enjoy, I want to be successful, I want to feel happy, I want to feel better, but it depends on better in what. I could feel successful in carrying out the will of others in a way that I work and work and work from dawn to dusk and purchase things, and by that I'm simply enslaved by society and I feel good because of that. And now we're seeing that we're in a dead end. Why? Simply because we are reaching a dead end and we are destroying nature as well. So maybe we'll do something else. Maybe we'll create an environment that will foster equality. This will prevent wars, that the values in society will be equality and care for others and mutual support, mutual responsibility, and working only to the extent that we need to fulfill our natural needs in a comfortable way. And we'll work on these things, being surrounded by the values that will be influenced by, and we'll enjoy that because these values will be appreciated by people. So instead of buying a 20-meter-long car and growing the greenest grass to be better than the neighbors, we'll do something else. It doesn't matter. I'll still be motivated to do things internally. Only it'll be for the benefit of everyone. So we have 90% people unemployed. It doesn't matter. Every person can work for about an hour a week. And this will be sufficient. We'll eat what we need, and it'll be sufficient. We'll build whatever we need to be comfortable. And we'll decide together whether we need it or not. And when we decide on things together in society, what is the principle? Where is the boundary? Let's say we want to build, you know, big power plants, could be, or huge, you know, other things. How can we as a society that decides do that? In the egoistic society, we follow simply the idea of deciding as much as we can, to produce as much as we can. And in the new society, we'll simply be working in relation to nature. Nature is now demonstrating a crisis to us. Meaning, I'll set up an environment that will be in balance with nature. The sphere, the human environment that I'll exist in will have to determine where is the limit of corporeal development and production, and that will be according to how much nature allows us to develop. Otherwise, we'll just disrupt the balance and ruin ourselves and the environment. Of course, that's a general principle that needs to be developed, but that's the idea. And then a person will enjoy security, safety, health care, housing, you know, everything that we now suffer to have, and no one actually enjoys. And everyone will be appreciated by society in carrying out or meeting these goals. And also, we will avoid destroying nature, since our development must be in accord with nature. Okay, that's a very general, comprehensive outlook. And if we look more at the experience of a personal individual, today I see that some people, you know, are less successful in this competitive mentality. Maybe they're more sensitive, maybe they're more, you know, gentle. And sometimes they really give up this competition and they look for all kinds of other things they can do, like education or connecting to themselves through psychology and workshops and self-help and different things. The question is, how much are they supported by the environment, by the general society? You're saying that there are people who already chose you know, to the least evil, or to be happy with their share. Yeah, because everyone just wants to be happy, of course, towards other people, towards my partner, my romantic partner, or children, or family. You know, okay, but the thing is, I'm not supported by the environment in doing that. Some people try to move to some desolate places because they don't want to, you know, be influenced by that. First of all, we can't all do that. We're talking about a global solution here to a global crisis. So it's impossible. That's one thing. Second thing is that whether I like it or not, I go under restrictions in life. My wife may not agree, my children will look at me in a weird way, other people, colleagues will look at me, can look at me in a weird way. Even though there are some social movements of that nature, but they are exceptional, and it doesn't prevent humanity from coming to a global crisis, which includes threats of nuclear war and natural disasters that are even worse than that. How will that process actually connect us to our true self? You started talking about that before, and it interests me, who is that true self, and how will that process allow me to be my authentic self? My authentic self is that someone actually truly enjoys. It's a will to enjoy. It's my true self. I want to enjoy. I want to feel that I am satiated, that I am comfortable, relaxed, that I don't need something. Because if I need anything, then it's not constant joy. It's a lack. It's something that I lack, that I miss. It's no longer actual pleasure and delight. Pleasure means that it's like I'm in heaven, like a baby in its mother's arms. That's it. I don't need anything more. This is how I need to feel myself in the environment and in nature, in these two spheres. And then I'll truly be happy. Is it something specific to each and every person? Everyone has a different self? No, that's where the problem is, that for this I need to be in a big environment that even expands to the whole of humanity, because today we're all influenced by everyone, like how the Western world affects most of the other parts of the world. And so I have to have everyone moving to the same direction. I want to understand why, because there's a certain self that looks from the side at everything that the society impressed him with and different values that he received from society, and now it'll start taking on new values. But let's say that now, by recognition of evil, I distinguish between myself and my ego, and I look from a side, and I go through some revision, you know, some criticism, and I think about how would I go through life otherwise. It's not characteristic of people, you know, everyday people who actually would be able to do that. But let's say there are people, some people who can do that. That's also not really sure. But I would have to check, in what way can I lead myself to pleasure? I have to organize the entire environment, the whole of humanity, to support a new approach, and that approach will have to be in balance with the surrounding nature. There's some very simple formula here that is called equivalence of form, that I need to be in an equal form with the still vegetative animate and society, the whole of society, and the general system of nature. If I come to balance with that, that is the most comfortable, happiest, convenient, relaxed state. We never felt that way. But that is the true point of pleasure that myself yearns for. But because I was developing by the ego, I was deluded by it, and I couldn't see, couldn't find that state. I always lied to myself, and everyone lied to themselves, that this is what will lead them to pleasure. And this is how they simply come to the end of life, and that's it. And today, after many generations, we finally can take this into account. So many people who go through this process and just say stop to this tension and mess and competition in life and daily struggle for survival. Some people say stop and they try to kind of, criticize, who am I, what am I doing in life, what's important to me? And then what usually happens is that they go through some introspection, some journey within in order to look for that self and then connect to something. You know, there's an approach that talks about connecting to some eternal thing, something higher. With what tools? This is exactly what we're asking. We want to recognize what is that true self that many people aspire for. With what tools will a person know how to relate to life in a new way and not lie to himself again and do all kinds of actions? You know, many revolutions and different upheavals in society happened in different parts of the world. And socialism that you mentioned is an approach that already went bankrupt. Yeah, sure, we have to understand what we're talking about. But the question is, how do we come to the true solution? And this is where we have to understand that there is no correct solution in our world. I come to, at best, to a state where I feel bad and I'm like a beaten animal that suffers blows in every direction it tries to escape to, and nothing helps. And in the pace of today, these blows will happen really according to the pace of change, and we won't know how to get out of that state. We are we're simply be running around like a beaten animal, left, right, and suffering blows in every direction, and there won't be a solution. Trying to organize a correct society based on balance with nature. For that, we need a unique education that comes from the depths of nature, that comes from the very program that is nature, and that we are managed by. That program brings us a method of correction that is what we call integral education. How to connect between us in a new way in order to have a unified society that is that is reciprocal and equal and balanced. And it's not what the socialists or communists wanted to do in Russia, but it's something that puts us in balance with nature. And what they did in Russia and developed in their own weapons to, take over the world and call themselves communism or socialism, it's not socialism, it's just, dictatorship and a different form of it, and that's it. I was there. I know what it is, and I feel it. And it's not socialism, it's not equality, and it's not that the people themselves realize what is happening, agreeing to what is happening, and are being educated in the same, in that manner, and are getting into balance with nature and want to expand to the world in a good and positive way and not by weapons and pressure. So it's another form of slavery. Yeah, of course, it's falsehood and slavery. But specifically, because of that, we're talking about it. Socialism is something humanity tried to do in many ways in different kibbutzes and communal settlements. And even today in the world, you can find all kinds of villages and places where they try to build these environments. I met with such people in Italy, for example, and many other places. The problem is this: we ourselves cannot reach a solution. We can see that if we were able to do this and that, that would be great. But how do we actually do it? How do we shift from the egoistic rails that we're on right now to altruistic rails of development? How can I change myself so it actually begins to enjoy, not by pleasure, but taking pleasure in and that's it, but by this anti-ego, to want to love the others, to bestow to others? How can I see the others like my own relatives, that I enjoy when they enjoy, that I give them pleasure and that fulfills me? How will I change my ego that is around the self? There's this central point with it, which is the self, around that my ego, around that human society, and around that nature. How do I actually transform myself? And that is where we need a new force that doesn't exist in our world. We have to find it and disclose it. And it is found within nature, in the depths of nature, but we have to find it ourselves. And that is what integral education is actually for, and it teaches us how we can find the means that will correct our nature. We can understand in our mind that we should be, you know, connected and bestowing and equal and not ruin nature and only produce the things that we need to live with, and all the rest will be our pleasure in being together and helping each other and so forth. But where will we take that transformation from? How will we transform? That is the issue. And this is where the problem is. We can do it by a force that lies within nature, on the condition that we organize ourselves correctly. And the method of how to do this is called integral education. And this is not a simple thing, and only few people, a handful of people in the world, can digest this, understand it, and bring it to the use of the whole of humanity. You know, many times I've heard that term of you're very connected to yourself, or, you know, which is something with a positive connotation, a person who is connected to himself. So it's exactly that place where that people are looking for, to be connected to your true self. And from what I hear, the innovation here, different from many approaches that I know that speak about digging into yourself and connect to yourself and be happy, here you're talking about some circles that are around me, and towards them I have to change. Because you're running away, you're escaping this reality, and you're saying, okay, I'll close myself, lock myself in some village or in my own apartment, and that's it, and I'll be good, you know, and I'll even smoke something that can kind of confuse me a little bit and calm me down. And this is what's needed today. This is what the leaders also want to lead humanity to today. Because they have nothing to do with them. They just want to lead people to that state so that people also stop having more children. And, you know, in a generation, two generations, four generations, we'll have less and less children, we'll have less people, and that's how we'll decrease the population. And that's it. So the most important thing for them is to calm people down or to, you know, start some chaotic intervention, you know, just like the Arab Spring was started and so forth. There are different approaches of coaching and, you know, all kinds of education for organizations that talk about empowering a person, giving tools to a person, and not necessarily restrict a person to a specific, limited, lonely place. But if we're talking about this transformation of society, I saw an article that was published in Harvard Business Review that talks about workplaces where there are big egos that don't allow the place to function properly. And the question they asked was how to cause a group of people with great egos to actually be a group, to be a team, to elevate them to an even bigger level of ego, meaning to show them a higher peak, that this is what you need to come to. And then they get organized like a pack or like a group or like a gang, actually, that it's worthwhile for them to connect in order to get that higher thing, meaning that they'll see that for this they can connect. This is how a gang is built, or any, you know, commando team or in the army, but this does not help us fix the world. Yeah, but if I want to be more successful or adapted to the new approach, is it not a step in the right direction? No, because you're always using a bigger ego, and that ego enters a crisis after all, and therefore your tendency to reach more and more egoistic accomplishments will break, and therefore all those big companies and banks and so forth, all of that for a long time, in fact, is going bankrupt. But in the meantime, it's being held on to because no one knows what to do with it. Yeah, there were all kinds of tips they spoke about. This was the main tip. They also spoke about an example of the Dream Team, which is an ABA team that won the Olympics because representing the U.S. was their goal, and that's what made them cooperate. But the topics, the comments of readers were interesting because people felt that something's missing. There's already this disregard towards the approach that everyone comes with their ego, and it's okay. It's not okay that much anymore. I think people respect it much less. It's true that people will want connection. They already are in preparation to the new era, to the new approach. But finding it, they won't be able to. Even if they search for all kinds of other, you know, not authentic socialistic ways and so forth, they won't be able to do it, because dealing with our egoistic evil motivation is impossible. That requires a higher force which exists in nature, which lies in nature, which begets and procreates and plans and programs nature and puts us through this developmental process of in history and all these phases of development on purpose. And we have to recognize that force now and use it. And that's why we need integral education now, because it gives us connection to that force that lies in nature. The people who understand integral education tell us how we need to organize ourselves, how we need to regroup in order to find that force. What is that form of reorganization? It is the form of being similar to nature, connected in the correct way, studying what connection really is, doing all kinds of actions of connection. In practice as well, so that from the connection we have to always try to find that force that lies in nature, in human society. And that force relates to human society especially. And it has created us. And it is what will change our direction, our approach, switches from the direction of developing by egoistic force. Gradually, it doesn't happen right away, but gradually we shift and move to an altruistic direction. The competition will not stop, but the competition will be a positive one. Who gives more, who strengthens social connections more, and so forth. What about those people that we spoke about before this episode, who are pressured and stressed by the competition? How will they feel in the positive competition? They won't feel suffering anymore. They'll feel elevated. They'll feel very positive. Everyone supports you. Everyone helps you. You can do whatever you want as long as it's for the benefit of others. You can do it on your own when no one looks at you. You can do it when others look at you, and you get fulfillment from that. You have different self-esteem. Just like today with, powerful egoism, I don't care if someone sees me or not. I work hard in order to get the diamond I want. So I'll work in altruistic ways towards the environment to get the same diamond, so to speak. But the diamond will be something else. The feeling that I gave something, and that makes me great and lofty. And so the competition exists, but it's no longer called the evil inclination, rather the good inclination, because everyone benefits from that, and everyone and the environment comes to balance. And if someone is less successful about giving to the society, everyone gives as much as they're capable, because what you have comes from nature, and therefore you're not to blame if you're more or less smart or more or less capable of something. You use yourself 100%, and that makes you equal to others. So this means that there's a very heightened awareness of people. Yeah, we have to develop that. So this is what we're talking about today, that a person can see his ego and the system he's in, and he'll no longer be identified with himself only. He'll understand his role. I wanted to ask this. You defined before that myself, what it really truly aspires for is a state of balance with other people and with nature. Now, if I want to find this I, this self, so what does that mean? What does this definition mean? Yourself is a will to enjoy. I want to enjoy now as well. True, yourself doesn't change. The means, to change yourself changes. And that means depends on the environment. So you defined this state where a person aspires in his heart, even if he can't reach it, to a state that is perfect with and balance with all of nature and with the whole of human society, and that is where the self feels the best possible state. That's true? I said correct? Yes. I want to come to that. I understood the definition. What do I do with it? You buy a ticket, and you fly to a certain place where there's a society, a big society, let's say some Australia or something, something remote and isolated, and that's where you put yourself in a new environment. And that environment begins to fill you up with new values. And you see how they live, how they bestow to each other, how they enjoy. At first you enjoy it very much because you get everything you want in your ego, because everything gets what they need there. But others you know, simply take what they need for their necessities. And you come there and you start exploiting them. But as you begin to exploit them, you suddenly feel that there's no social support for this exploitation. You begin to see an example around you of everyone eating only what they need, living not in a modest way, but in a normal way, what they need for their bodies, and that's it. But in giving to the society, they give with all their heart, and they're looking for how else and what other way to give to the society. Meaning, what is their occupation? What do they do? Because how much does such a society need, right? So their occupation is actually in finding a deeper and deeper connection between them all the time, connecting with each other more and more and more as one man and one heart, and discovering that inner force of nature. And in unifying with it, they reach a very special pleasure, special kind of life. The whole of society begins to be as one. And in that oneness lies the source of pleasure that yourself actually yearns for. Okay, now say, I don't have the money to buy the ticket to Australia, and I live here in Petah Tikva, and I want, you know, together with other people who are now listening to this, and say, okay, there's really something to it, something attractive, I want to hire your services even, come be a guide and take us through a process of, I don't know exactly what, but you know, I don't have the money to buy to go to Australia, I also have kids, it's unrealistic. Let's say we want to create some new social connection here between ourselves, wherever we are, it doesn't matter in what country or city. Where do we start? We start by, first, we need to have many people. Well, if you're talking about the Petah Tikva, your small city, no, the whole city doesn't come with me to this process yet. Just a few people. I need 1,000 people. Well, I don't have 1,000 people. Let's say 500 people. And if we are 20 people, it is not sufficient. It's difficult. But you can start. No, because I don't have 500 or 1,000 people. Let's start with what we have. Okay, so we start with what we have. You start with what you have, and you begin to first work on people who know how to explain to the public. I'll take you. You know how to explain. No, but I'm old. What do you want from me? No, but you're old and full of wisdom. So, no, we won't tire you. We'll give you a few people. No, it doesn't matter the amount and the people. I want to understand the process now. Put us through the process. So listen, you're not listening. No, because you told me bring 500 people, 1,000 people. I don't have that. Okay, bit by bit. So let's say I have to build students. And the students will understand what we spoke about, at least in these two last episodes, previous one and this one. And when they will understand it, we also have to teach them how to approach other people and how to explain to people the direction of development of nature and our development, and what do we recommend in order to come out of this crisis that is becoming worse and worse every day. They have to know that. Then they need to know how to activate the audience, the people. So the public will feel what changes they can go through and what they can benefit by implementing this method of integral education. Why do we call it education? Because a person is being educated, he's changing. Everything that we got from the environment needs to be changed, meaning not, instead of this egoistic education that we received from the environment, we need completely, entirely altruistic education that pushes us to connect, teaches us how to connect, that everything we do is only together. Only together. If we do everything together, we'll succeed. What do you mean by everything? Everything in the world, everything in life, everything in our city. All our systems of supply and distribution and guard and security. Let's do all of this together. Let's take the city and begin to take care of each and every area, and but do it through education. And through education we'll come to equality. What is equality? That people will enjoy living in a unique place, in such a place that everyone starts talking about. That this is where people want to start a new kind of life. That they're all equal, that they're all helpful towards each other, that they're all in a mutual, reciprocal way towards each other. They're cleaning together the streets, they're caring about each other, if someone falls behind, if someone, you know, we educate the person to contribute to society. And we help them in what's we help everyone in what they're missing. Let's start putting this together. But it comes by this social education. We start building groups and groups, and then we connect them, and that's how we do it. We can't bring them this all-inclusive surrounding influence that like the egoistic environment works in us, but it comes from within and it grows. And through these interactions, I'll find myself. Through these interactions, you'll find yourself in a positive and full way. Why? Because you'll be given new values where you'll enjoy being connected to everyone and being like, you know, in the mother's hands who cares for you and takes you into consideration and so forth. And it'll be similar to, like, you know, where the place you grew up in. Yeah, but what is it? How is it connected to others? I want to find myself, to feel myself. Yourself is to feel good. Sure, that's what I want. So this is what you'll get. Through the positive interactions with others, you feel very good. You'll go through many different states. Because in your present nature, you first reject the others. You won't want to speak to them, be with them. And, you know, we know how what you kind of do with your hands when you dislike something and so forth. But by the influence of the environment, you feel that this is the evil in you and you won't be having a hard time getting rid of it by the examples and the pressures of society. Tal will also find herself there if she comes with me? Yes. So everyone will. Okay, how does this wonder work that everyone finds themselves? It's the inner force of the environment that begins to be connected and then it's in a correct interaction and balance with nature, and then in that environment, the inner force of nature appears. How's that connected to myself and herself? And that force fulfills everyone who are equally connected. But what is this connected to myself? Yourself is nourished by that. It's drawn to that. What do you mean to that? To feel that force of unity that you now reach in the environment. Together, you come to a unity. Together we come to myself, you come to unity. In that unity, the self of each and every one connects to a greater self, one heart, and it connects to that force of nature, this inner force of nature that appears. And that's the kind of connection we come to. The inner force of nature and the inner force within the person. And that is the conclusion, the correction. There's no more than that. No more than that sounds bad. No, it's the end. But the end is death. No, it's not death. In that interaction that you constantly give and receive from the others and in a in beautiful relations with them, you discover that it's infinity. Infinity is great, but our time is up. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. And thank you, Tal. Thank you all for being with us. New life. Bye-bye.